Amen. If you're satisfied, if your soul is satisfied, give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. There's no satisfaction. Lord have mercy. Like having the Holy Ghost today. Amen. There's nothing like being filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Stay with me all over this house. On this beautiful holiday weekend, we're going to turn to the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. I don't want to try to force anything, but I got something burning in my soul today that I want to share with this body. And I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you today. And it's so wonderful to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm actually delighted to see a crowd this size. Usually we're a little smaller on this holiday weekend, but man, this church is really growing. Amen. This place is nearly full on this holiday weekend when we're about usually less than half. Amen. So I'm excited about that this morning, and I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. It's wonderful to see all of you here with us. Amen. If you could stand with me all over this house, we're going to get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you've been wondering, what's God's purpose for my life? Maybe you're watching live today. Maybe you're traveling. Maybe you're a visitor who just watches our Facebook Live. And you've been asking, what has God called me to do? What is God's purpose for my life? What is the reason for me being here? I can't speak to everyone's purpose in this room today. I can't speak to everyone's calling. I can't determine what's between you and God and what God has revealed to you or what God has in store for each and every one of you to do for His kingdom. One thing I can assure you today, one thing I can promise you today, as the voice of God in this house, is that God has created you for a cause. God has created you for a cause. There is purpose in your life today. There's purpose in your life today. I want you to meet me in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. The book of Genesis, the second chapter, I'm going to be reading from verse 1. Genesis 2, verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 9, then we're going to skip down to verse 18. When you get there in Genesis 2 and 1, shout out yes. I've got 5 people. I'll wait till we get 10. Shout out yes when you get to Genesis 2 and 1. All right, we got 11, I think. So Genesis 2 and 1. The word of the Lord says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. We're reading about the story of creation. Amen. Genesis 2 and 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it ever grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and it watered the whole face of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, the good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the sake of time, I want you to jump down to verse 18 with me. Verse 18 in the same chapter. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." For the next few moments, I want to preach to you on this topic: created for a cause. Created for a cause. I want you to lay your Bibles down. I want you to lift your praise up. I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord today. Come on, praise him like you're in it to win it. Praise him like he's done something for you. Praise him like he means something to you. Praise him like you're nothing without him. Praise him like you can't face tomorrow without him. Somebody magnify the Lord with me in this house today. Lord, we love you. We need you. We praise you. We were created for a cause today. Created for a cause today, Lord, and we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Bless your word. Let it fall upon good ground. Let it fall upon good ground. Let it bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated today for the next few moments. Thank you so much for standing to honor God's word today. Amen. If you were here for pre-service prayer, I'd like for you to lift your hands up in the air right now if you were here for pre-service prayer. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for all these people who come in here early, amen, and intercede for these services and intercede for your souls. We're so thankful for all of you who come in here to pray for these services. It means so much to me. It means so much to the Lord, and I can't thank you enough for doing that. And I want to speak to you a few more moments this beautiful Sunday. It's morning. It's getting ready to be early afternoon. On this topic, created for a cause. Created for a cause. Amen. Many of us can quote the opening verse of the Bible. If you have any length of time in church, it should be fundamental for you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And no doubt we as a majority should be as a whole believe that today, that God did create the heaven and the earth. And God did create man, and God did form man from the dust of the earth. And God did breathe into him and make him a living soul. Amen. We read these verses of Scripture, and no doubt we believe these things today, but do we really stop and do we really ponder and do we really take time to appreciate the wonder of that statement? Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created everything. Amen. And on the seventh day, he rested, and God saw that what he had made was good. And God took man and he made man from the dust of the ground. And we see these things, but do we really stop and ponder? Do we really stop and really be awed by the fact that God has created all of this? Amen. We serve a God today that finds joy, church, in creating. He's a creator. That's what he is. He's a creator. He's the great creator. That's what God is today. Amen. We serve a God that finds joy in creating. And that joy is infectious. That joy is contagious. We read in the book of Job, the 38th chapter and the 7th verse, that when the Lord was laying the foundations of the earth, the Bible says that the sons of God shouted for joy. Because God is a creator, and those that love God love to watch God work. Amen. We love to watch God do what he does. We love to watch people come in and fall down at altars of prayer. We love to watch people be filled with his spirit. We love to see people get healed in their bodies. Amen. We love people to see people conquer sin and watch the Holy Ghost overtake their lives. We love to watch God create. Amen. And as the Lord created and laid the foundations of the earth, the Bible says that the sons of God shouted for joy. Why? Because he is the great creator and his creation loves to watch him work. Amen. It's infectious. It's contagious. Amen. And we get excited watching God create. That's why when people come into the church, and their lives begin to turn around and the weight of sin begins to fall off and depression and oppression no longer has dominion over them. That's why we get excited when we see these things. That's why we pray, Lord, for that next soul that's going to walk through the door. Why? Because we are literally watching God create a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that excites the sons and the daughters of God. To watch the Lord create, amen, is an exciting thing. We get excited watching the Lord create a new creature in Christ Jesus. Listen to me today. Creation was not a random act of God. Creation was not something that he just did spontaneously one day and just said, oh, I think I'll make something. Like we do when we're at home and you get an itch and to just throw some concoction together in your microwave or in your oven. This was not a random act of God. This is something that he planned. This is something that he orchestrated. This is something that he designed from the heavens today. Let me tell you something. Before you ever was, you was on his mind. Before you ever was, he loved you. He thought about you. He was concerned about you. Your creation today was not some random act of our heavenly creator today. But every single thing that God creates, he creates for a purpose. Amen. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, my life has purpose. Come on, look to your other neighbor and say, your life has purpose. Amen. Everything that God creates today, he creates for a purpose. Everything that God creates today is complementary. All right? It is complementary. Everything that he creates in some way, shape, or form, it sustains or it helps something else. I listened to a preacher preach one time. He was talking about the wolves in a vast forest. They had decided to, the wolves were reaping havoc. So instead of just doing some maintenance and some control, they decided to wipe out the wolves. And you know what? When they messed up that ecosystem, they messed up that atmosphere. When they took out the wolves, certain things just began to go rampant and things got all out of whack. Let me tell you something. Everything that God makes is complementary. Everything that God makes supports something else. Amen. And we need to understand today that God did not create us as some kind of random act just because he got a wild burr one day and he just decided to do something. He created you for a reason. He created you for a reason, and there's nobody under the sound of my voice that God has not called you to do something. and that God does not have purpose for your life. You were created for a cause. Everything that God makes in some way supports something else. We see that all of these things that were created on the days of creation were dependent upon the thing that was made the day before. He was compounding, he was creating a system of life that was dependent. Listen, we depend upon the light that he created. Without it, your body will have a deficiency. You got to have that light. The plants depend upon that light that he created. Everything that God made, he created for something else. Amen. Can I tell you today, the people were created with a purpose in God's mind. Man is the crowning glory of God's creation. That's why he waited until the very end. And you, sir, and you, ma'am, listen, were created for a cause today. You were created for a cause today. No man and no woman is more essential or less essential than anybody else. Amen. Every soul has value. Every soul has purpose. Every soul can make a difference. Every soul can be used of God. Every soul is created for a cause today. Amen. And sometimes in our frail human condition, it's easy for us to think that God is too great. God is too big. God is too vast. God is too wonderful to worry about our little matters. Amen. We think of the grandeur of heaven. We think of the splendor of heaven. We think of the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. We think of the angelic beings that are worshiping him. And we say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou would visit him? Amen. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? I'll tell you what man is today. Man is God's creation. Man is what God created for a cause. You, my friend, you, my friend, today were created for a purpose. God has a plan for your life. I don't care if you're brand new in the church or if you've been in the church for 50 years. God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life today. You were created for a cause. Amen. Man is God's creation. We are the apple of his eye. We are the church of the living God. We are the contenders for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And the great creator cares about you. And the great creator cares about yours. And the great creator cares about what you're going through today. Man, the Bible says that God breathed into this still form, this thing that he had formed from the dust of the ground with his heavenly hands. The Bible says that God breathed into that creation that he called man, and man became a living soul. Church, listen, the word creation by definition requires a creator. You can't have creation without a creator. So by definition, if you got creation, you got to have a creator. The word creation means you got to have a creator. You did not just evolve today. You're not the result of some big bang that happened many years ago. No, you were made by the great creator, and he created you for a cause and for a purpose today. We are made in his likeness, church. We are made in his image. Because he is a creator, we are creators. We are creators by nature today. By design, God has made man creators. The only difference is God has the ability to breathe life into the creation. We create many things, but we cannot create life. Amen. God is a creator, and he creates life today. Amen. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Everything that God created, he spoke into existence except for mankind. Amen. The only thing that God did not speak into existence was you and I. No. He took his heavenly hands, he reached down and he took the dust of the ground and he formed man from the dust of ground. You are the handiwork of the great creator today. Listen, you might not have the looks you want. You might not have the height you want. You might not have the stature or the weight you want, which you can control, by the way. But you are the handiwork of God. You are the handiwork of God. He didn't just speak you into existence. He put his hands on you. He forms you from the dust of the ground. Amen. And everything that God spoke into existence except for mankind, but man he created from the dust of the ground. And all out of all that God created, only man did God make into a living soul. Only man did God breathe the breath of life into. That's how much he loves you today. That's how much he cares about you today. Out of everything that God created, you are the only being that God breathed the breath of life into today. You were created for a cause. God created everything that he created with humanity in mind. God created everything that he created with the church, those that would worship him in mind. He created everything on earth knowing that man and woman would live upon the earth. That's why he created man after he made all of these things, so all of these things could sustain mankind. Amen. God has created you for a purpose today. And everything that he created with humanity in mind. Amen. But he created you. He had already made provisions for you. Before God ever reached down and made man, he had already made provisions for man. You know what that tells me? Before you even face the trial that you're going to go through next week, the Lord's already done, worked it all out. The problem is we don't have the faith to believe him for it. We settle into our doubt. We get caught up in the distractions of irrelevant things that really don't matter, and it messes with our faith in God. Before you ever go through what lies and waits ahead for you, 6 months from now, the Lord's already made provisions for you. The Lord's already worked it all out. Amen. But we get caught up in doubt. We get caught up in the distractions. Amen. We get caught up in all of these things. Amen, but God has already made provisions for you for whatever comes your way. Whatever happens, God has already made provisions for you. He's given us the church for fellowship. And so many times we decide to stay at home instead of taking advantage of what God has given us. So many times we decide that our recliner is a little more comfortable than the seats at the church. So many times we decide that our favorite show on Netflix is a little more important than the house of God and what the preacher has to say. Listen, God has given us everything we need. God has already made provisions for us, but so many times we don't even open the gifts that he's given us. He's given us the church for fellowship. He's given us the church so we can lean upon each other. That we can pray with each other. We can come to an altar of prayer at the closing of service, at the beginning of service. We can come and seek him and find him. The Lord has given us the church for our provisions. Amen. He has given us the church so we could lean upon each other. He has given us his word to give us knowledge and wisdom. He's given us his word. Amen. So it could order our steps. He's given us his word that it could guide us. Amen. It could, and we would have the strength and the power of his word to speak things into existence. You cannot be a creator without the word of God. The word of God is what speaks things into existence today. He's given us his word to order our steps. He's given us his spirit. He empowered us with the Holy Ghost so we can live our lives as overcomers. Come on, God has given his creation everything that they need. The question is today, are you going to take advantage of what God has given you? Come on, I can write you a check for $1,000 today, but if you're too lazy to take it to the bank, I can't help you. That's exactly the way God feels. I've given you the provisions. I've given you everything that you need, but you won't take advantage of what I've given you. Amen. Before God ever created you, before God ever made you, He already made provisions for you. But we, as the people of God, so many times we don't take advantage of the provisions that God has given us, that God has laid out for us. He's given His creation everything that they need. All we got to do is get rid of the doubt. We get caught up in the doubt. We get caught up in our surroundings. Let me tell you something. We got to get rid of our doubt today. Amen. All we got to do is realize that He created us for a cause and our life has purpose. But we cannot doubt Him. We got to get rid. Remember the woman, the woman that they prayed for, they said, Lord, help her unbelief. Help her unbelief. That's what I pray many times when I'm praying to the Lord. Lord, get rid of my, help me to get rid of my unbelief. I understand today that doubt is a disabler and my unbelief will keep me from receiving what you have for me. Lord, help me get rid of my unbelief today. You got to get rid of the doubt today. You got to stop doubting what God has called you to do. Amen. Church, listen, doubt is a disabler, and we cannot doubt God today. It will keep you from receiving what God has made provisions for you. Listen, before Gideon could rise out of his insignificance, he had to overcome his own doubt. He didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor. He was afraid that the Midianites were going to take what he was threshing. Amen. Before God could rise him out of, God could raise him, God could lift him out of the insignificance that he was experiencing, he had to overcome his own doubt. The Lord deserted standard military procedures, decreased his army. Common sense tells you to increase your army, not decrease your army. But the Lord abandoned those standard military procedures and he said, no, you can't go in with too many because then you're going to receive the glory. I got to receive the glory. So he abandoned those military procedures and he decreased the army of Gideon. And most people would think that that's crazy today, but he told him to break the pitcher, blow the trumpet, and shout a great shout. Church, listen, Gideon did not need more soldiers. Gideon did not need more swords and more shields. Gideon needed to get rid of his doubt. Gideon needed more faith in God. Before Moses could be lifted from the backside of a desert to stand strong in the courtroom of a tyrant, God had to get rid of his doubt. He said, I don't speak clearly. I'm not the man for the job. Moses doubted what God was going to use him to do. Amen. And before God could raise him from the backside of that desert, the Lord had to get rid of his doubt. He had to realize he was created for a cause. He didn't need perfect speech. He didn't need to be the man for the, he didn't need to be the man that he thought he needed to be for the job. God had called him to do the job. Amen. So the Lord sent Aaron to be his prophet. He didn't need perfect speech. He didn't need a mighty army. What he needed to do was get rid of his doubts. What he needed was more faith in God. Before David could stand in the valley of Elah and take down the one that defiled the armies of the living God, he had to get rid of David's doubt. So the Lord sent him a lion and a bear. The Lord sent him a lion and a bear that would come and try to steal his sheep. The Lord needed to create a godly confidence in David. He needed to remove his doubt and to show him, I have created you for a cause. You're going to stand in that valley when everybody else is afraid to stand and face that giant. You're going to realize, I created you for a cause. I sent that lion, I sent that bear to get rid of your doubts. To show you that I would never leave you and I would never forsake you. David didn't need the armor of Saul. David didn't need to be taller than Goliath. He just needed to get rid of his doubt. He just needed more faith in God. Church, you're created for a cause today. You're created for a cause today. David had to come to realize he was created for a cause. The lion and the bear had been sent for a purpose. The next time you're going through something, understand something today. God is creating something in you. The next time you're facing a valley, the next time you're going through a situation, just realize God has something greater in store for you down the road. The lion and the bear was sent to get rid of David's doubt, to show David that he was created for a cause. I come to tell somebody today, there's no limit how God can use you. You were created for a cause. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are, listen, you might not be perfect in your own eyes, but God sees you right where you're at. And God knows exactly what he can make you to be. You were created. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the design of the great creator today. You are the design of the great creator today. You were created in his likeness and in his image. He's going to use you to do amazing things, but you got to get your opinions out of God's way. Listen, I read to you a verse of scripture a while ago that said that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. You know why God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep before he made Eve? It's because he didn't want Adam's opinion on how to do it. Man, only three people laughed at that. God doesn't need your opinion on how to do what he does. He knows exactly what he's doing. He didn't need Adam saying, oh, make her 5'10" and blonde hair and blue eyes. Give her a figure, Lord. No. He said, I don't need your opinion, Adam. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to create you what you need and not what you want. So go to sleep for a while, Adam. Sometimes you just got to get out of God's way and let God do what he does so he can show you you're created for a cause today. You're created for a cause today. Amen. The Lord knows what he's doing. Don't question him. Don't doubt him. He's creating in your life. He is the great creator. He's creating. He's doing something wonderful. I know you don't understand what you might be going through today. I know you don't understand what might have happened a few months ago. I know you might not understand why you had to go through this when you were a child, but God does. God does. God understands every disappointment you've ever experienced. He understands every letdown, every time your heart was pained, and every time your heart was broken. God understands every bit of it. He cares about you, and he cares about yours today. You were created for a cause. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't need our opinion on how to do it. He just needs somebody who's willing to be a vessel, a sanctified vessel through which his mercy and his grace can flow. You, Adriana, you, Micah, you, Brandy, you, Kenny, you, Brother Norman, you, all of you, you're the vessel that God desires to use today. You're a vessel that was created for a cause. Your life has purpose. You, Josh, God has a purpose for your life today. There's something down the road that God is going to use you to do. But we got to surrender our will to his way. We got to get the doubt out of our lives. We got to accept our circumstances for what God brings them. And we got to use them for the kingdom of God. Your life was created for a purpose. No doubt David didn't have Goliath on his mind when the lion and the bear came. No doubt Moses wasn't thinking about standing before Pharaoh when he was tending to those sheep on the backside of a desert. We don't know what God has in store, but what we do know is God has created us for a purpose. God has created us for a cause today. And that's each and every one of you today. God has created you for a cause. Stand with me all over this house as the musicians come quickly. I'm about to come to a close. I know you've heard preachers say that before. Church, we need to be We need to continue to be awed by the fact that we are God's creation. Somewhere along the way, we lose our ability to stand in awe of Him. When we read these passages of Scripture, we quote them so many times, we read them so many times, we begin to just skip over them like they mean nothing. But the truth of the matter is, we should stand in awe today that God created us from the dust of the earth. That God breathed the breath of life into our bodies. Have you ever noticed that things change when you mature from your childhood into adulthood? Things change. I remember when I was 13 years old, I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. I was excited about having the freedom to come and go, the ability to get places and do things. But now at my age, I'm trying to get somebody else to drive every opportunity I get. Brother Doug, you know what I'm talking about. You get ready to take trip, you get ready to go somewhere, say, here, Sam, you can drive. That's what I do to Serena all the time. Hey, you want to drive? And she's always like, no, you drive. And I say, no, you drive. When we were 13, we'd have been fighting over those keys. I'm driving. When we were 16, we'd have been wrestling over those keys. You remember when you were a child and Mom and Dad would take you on vacation. I remember the anticipation riding in the car, the excitement, the overwhelming feeling that, man, we're going to Guntown Mountain. How excited I was about those Indians on the top of that hill. That chairlift that took us up there. And then when I became a man, and we drive down there, it just didn't excite me the way it did when I was a child. You remember Christmas when you were a child? Boy, it was enchanting. It was amazing. At Christmas time, the excitement, man. You would count the days until December 25th. But as you mature into adulthood, Christmas takes on a different form. It's still good. You still love it. But it's good in a different way. It's not that exciting, mystical, enchanting holiday that you once enjoyed as a child. What changed? We did. We did. Christmas is the same as it was when we were little children. Vacation is the same as it was when we were little children. Driving in your car at the age of 50 is the same as it was when you were 16. So what changed? We did. Our perspective did. The way we view things changed. Church, we as the body of Christ, we as people, we become more mature in our surroundings. We lose our ability to be awed. We lose the hunger for the supernatural. We lose the excitement of the enchanting. We lose all of these things because we mature into adulthood. The very thing that we crave becomes our destruction. Let me tell you something. It's no wonder that when we think back about our childhood, we look back on our childhood, we long for that again, right? Anybody ever make the comment, man, I miss being little. I miss my childhood. I mean, those days were so good. Those days were so fun. I miss not having those responsibilities. It's no wonder that when we look back over our childhood, we feel like we're missing something. It's the same way in the spiritual. God, help us. If we ever start coming through those doors and everything becomes normal to us, God, help us. If we ever lose the fact that He is supernatural, God, help us. We ever lose the idea that He created us, He formed us from the dust of the ground. We serve an amazing God. We need to stand all in His presence today. We need to stand all in His presence today. It's time to get back to being awed by the Creator. It's time to get back to being excited about the things of God. It's time to get back to become overcome with joy when a sinner finds their way home. Come on, we ought to be excited about the things of God today. We need to see Him as majestic. We need to see Him as enchanting and inviting. We need to see Him as supernatural today. We need to see God as awe-inspiring. Nothing should get us excited like He does. Nothing should get us excited like an open altar. Nothing should get us excited like a 5-minute countdown before service. Nothing should get us excited about getting up on a Sunday morning and having a cup of coffee and preparing yourself for worship in God's house today. But somehow along the way we mature. And everything becomes status quo and everything becomes normal. We lose the enchantment. We lose the excitement. We lose the awe that we serve the great Creator. We are His creation today. He formed us from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into us today. So we rejoice. His creating abilities are infectious. They are contagious. And we seek to watch Him create today. He's the great Creator. We are His creation. He has created us for a cause today. We're getting ready to sing this song. And if you feel somewhere along the way, this has become normal to you, I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to shock your flesh. And I want you to say, the Lord can never become normal to me. The Lord can never become the normal or the status quo or the average to me. The house of God can never become average to me. I need to walk through these doors every time I come, expecting and anticipating God is going to do so. I need to come to the house of God believing that every time I come, I'm going to be better when I leave. These altars are open as we get ready to sing this song today. He's the great Creator. Your life has purpose. You were created for a cause. I cannot speak to all 75 or 95 of you, whatever is here. I cannot speak to you as to what God is dealing with you about. But I can tell you today, God has created you for a cause. God has placed things in your life to create you for what He has called you to do. These altars are open as we sing these songs today. Would you come?